Today, we complete Mishnayos Maseches Shavuos with lesson number 32. We will learn just one Mishnah, the very last Mishnah, Perek Ches Mishnah Vov, the eighth Perek, the sixth and final Mishnah, and another teacher will come in and teach the first Mishnah of Maseches Edios. So let's now learn together the sixth Mishnah, the final Mishnah of the eighth Perek. This is a continuation of the topic we've been studying, but here we will continue for a part of the Mishnah studying about the instances in which the Shoel would be Chayev a Korban Shuas HaPikadon. The previous Mishnah gave the scenario in which he's exempt from a Korban Shuah because his Shuah that he made, exempt from a Korban Shuas HaPikadon, because the Shuah that he made was not a Kfiras Mamon. Even if his Shuah had been true, he would still have to give the money, because the Shoel is Chayev al Hakol, Meshalem al Hakol, Es Hakol. So now we're going to look for an example, a situation, a scenario in which the Shoel is Chayev, the Korban Osham and the Chomesh for a Shvuas HaPikadon. Here's the scenario. The Mashiel, the lender, says to the borrower, Heichon Shori, where is the axe that I lent you? Oh, my lo, the Shoel says, axe? What axe? I don't know what you're talking about. Eini yodeya mo'atosoch. I don't know what you're talking about. I never borrowed an ox, no ox. But the truth is, v'hu shemeis, the truth is that he did borrow an ox, and the ox died, not because it died in the middle of its usual work of plowing. It died. O nishbar, o nishbo, nignava, o avada, any of the other scenarios happened to the ox, for all of which, the Shoel would be chayiv. In any of these cases, if he would admit to the truth, it was nishbar, either way, he's chayiv, Shoel is chayiv all the way, Shoel mishalem is hakol. So the Mashiel says, mashbiachani, I want you to swear that, indeed, you did not borrow, you don't know what I'm talking about. The Shoel swears, and then the Shoel comes out of Yom Kippur, whenever he decides to do tshuva, he comes and confesses, when I said I never borrowed anything, etc., I was swearing falsely. Oh, such a case, chayav. Because when the Shoel said, I don't know what you're talking about, that shvua was designed to deprive the mashiel, the toveya, from his money for the shore, from the shore. So in such a case, a Shoel is chayev a korban shvua and a chomesh, because his shvua did exempt him from payment for the shor. And you do have a kfiras mamon, where there is a kfiras mamon, and a shvua on a kfiras mamon, and a hoidah, confession, then there is a korban shvua. Adkan Shoel. Now, we learned in depth about the Shomachinam and in depth about the Shoel. Now we've got two other categories. The Nosei Socher, the person who is getting paid to watch the ox, and the Socher, the person who is renting the ox. He's paying me, he's paying the Toveya to use his ox. Omar le Nosei Socher v'ha Socher. If the owner of the ox says to the person he's paying to watch the ox, or to the person who's paying him to be able to use the ox, he says, the Baal HaShor says to the Shomer Socher or the Socher, Heichon Shori, nu, where is my ox? Oh, my lo. And the Shomer Socher or the Socher says, Mace, your ox died. For who? Shen Nishbar. And the truth is that it broke a leg. Oh, Nishbo, it was captured by bandits. Or the Shomer Socher or the Socher says, Nishbar, the Shor broke a leg. For who? But the truth is shemeis o nishbo. Or he says nishbo, and the truth is shemeis o nishbar. In all these cases, both according to what he said and according to what the truth is, either way, he's potter from paying. Because these are all accidents. It died, bandits came, an army came, etc. All of that all of those are onsen, and the shomer socher and the socher are potter from onsen. Remember, so in these cases, if he said the first case, mace, well, if that's true, he's potter. The truth is nishbar, that way he's also potter. Or another scenario, nignav. He says it was stolen from me. If that's true, he would be chayef. Stolen means someone broke into the barn and stole the ox. V'hu she'ovad. The truth is, it was not stolen by someone who broke in the middle of the night, but rather it went for a walk in the woods and I can't find it. Either way, what he swore, nignav, or what really happened, ovad, he is, in both cases, he's chayev, Hashem is socher, and the socher is chayev on geneva v'aveda. He's potter al ha'onsin. So the first list of cases, when he said mace and the truth was nishbar, or he said nishbar and the truth was it was mace or whatever, in those cases, what he said and what really happened, both are onsin, and for both he would be potter. However, now we're coming to scenarios whereby he said, and what actually happened, in either case, he would be chayef. When he said nignav, if it was nignav is chayev. It really was ovad, ovad is chayev. Remember, shomer socher, socher are chayev, not like a shomer chinam. They are chayev on geneva v'aveda. So similarly, ovad, he says it was lost, which would mean he's chayev. For who said nignav, and the truth was it was stolen, which would make him chayev. So the Baal HaShor, the owner of the shor now says to the shomer socher or to the socher, mashpiach on thee, I want you to swear that it indeed is true what you're saying, either the first set of scenarios, that an ones happened, or the second set of scenarios, that there was a geneva or an aveda. For yomar omein, and the shomer socher or the socher says, okay, I swear. Then the shomer socher or the socher does tshuva and confesses that he swore falsely. In these cases, potur, he's exempt from the consequences of a shvua sapikodom. He doesn't have to bring the korban shvua, he doesn't have to pay the chomesh, because his shvua didn't accomplish anything. In the first set of scenarios, his shvua is, I'm potur, and the fact is, he's potur. So what did his shvua save him? In the second set of scenarios, if he swore nignav, and it was really Ovad, or he swore Ovad, and it was really Nignav, either way, he is Chayef. Right? Either way, he's Chayef. So his Shvua is a Shvua, yes, I'm Chayef. That's not a Kfiras Mamon. That's not depriving the Mashiel, the Toveya, from any money. So therefore, he's Potter. However, suppose the Shomer Socher, or the Socher says, Mace o nishbar o nishbo. He says, an accident happened. Hit was hit by lightning. An army came and invaded and took away. Those are all onsen. But the truth is, v'hu shenignavo ovad. The truth is that it was stolen or lost, in which case it would be chayev. So his shvua, his statement, is a statement of ptur, of not having to pay. The fact is a fact of chiyuv, of having to pay. Now along comes the marshal and says, okay, I want you to swear, mashbiach ani, v'yomar omein, and the shomer socher, or the socher says, omein, I swear. And then he comes along and confesses, I swore falsely. It's not true that an accident happened, that it was onsen, it was meis nishbar nishbo. No. But rather the truth is, it was nignav ne'ovad. Then chayav, then the shomer socher or the socher has to bring a carbon shvua, because his shvua was designed to exempt himself from paying, from depriving the tovei of what was rightfully his. So there is a kfiras mamon. There is a kfiras mamon. There is a carbon shvua. If the shomer socher or the socher says, ovad o nignaf, right? Which is a claim that makes him chayef, because he's chayef on geneva naveda. For who shemeis onishbar, and the truth is some accident happened. The army came in the middle of the night or whatever. Mashpiachani, and the Mashiel says, I want you to swear, V'yomar Amen, and he swears, Potter, in such a case, he's exempt from a carbon shvua. Because what was his shvua? His shvua was, Ovad Onigna. His shvua was, yes, I owe you money. No, a shvua for yes, I owe you money, even though the truth is that you're exempt from the money, if you're some kind of a nut job, that you're are really, in truth, exempt from money, because what really happened was an accident. But you swear that it was not an accident. You swear that you're guilty and you have to pay. You're some kind of a nutcase, but you're not chayev a karbon shvua. Because the shama socher and the socher are potter and onsen. And he swore about nishbor and nishba. So he's not depriving the mashil of anything. He's not depriving a toveya of mamon, because the truth is the toveya is not entitled to mamon, because what really happened was an onus. Zaklal. There are different girsos of how this Mishnah ends. We'll follow the girsa in the most Mishnayos, which reads as follows. Zehaklal, this is the general rule with reference to a korban shvuas hapikodon. Kol ha-mishana mechova lechova. If a person, the truth is, he's obligated, and he swears he's obligated. Or umiptur liptur, the truth is he's exempt from payment, and he swears that he's exempt from payment. Umiptur lechova, or if he is really exempt from payment and he swears that he's obligated, in all of these cases, potur, he doesn't have to bring a carbon shvuas hapikadon again and again and again. The reason is because in all these scenarios, chova lechova, ptur leptur, ptur lechova, here is no kefiras mamon. However, mechova leptur, if the truth is he's obligated to pay, and his shvua is that he's not obligated to pay, so his shvua is trying to deny mamon from the toveya, then chayav his chayav a korban shvua. Zehaklal, kol hanishba lohokel al atzmo, anytime he swears to be lenient to himself, to get himself off the hook from paying, then he's chay of a carbon shvua. But if he swears lahachmir al atzmo, right? He swears to obligate himself when he really is obligated, or to exempt himself when he really is exempt, or to obligate himself when he really is exempt. In all these cases, potur, he's exempt from a shvuas hapikadon because there is no kfiras mamon. And so we have completed the sixth and final Mishnah of Masechta Shvuos, and we turn now to another teacher and to another Masechta, Maseches Edyos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and when we finish that, we will finish lesson number 32.
Welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we are beginning Maseches Edyos, the Tractate of Edyos. We will be doing the first Mishnah in the first chapter, but first a little background to what this Masechta is all about. Edyos is actually one of my favorite tractates, possibly my favorite tractate, because it's in many ways so different from the rest of Shas. In Talmud Brachos, it discusses when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed head of the yeshiva at Kerem B'Yavne. So on that day, they had an open admissions policy, and they installed many rows, and everyone could come, and the level of discourse was so great that they were able to resolve all the outstanding questions that were before them at that time. So on that day is called Bo B'Yom, and you'll see in Talmud it does refer to that specific occasion as Bo B'Yom. So, Tractate Edyos, what we're about to start studying, was learned Bo B'Yom, on that day. And instead of having a single topic, it really covers such a broad spectrum, a wide variety of subject matter from throughout Shas. There's a heavy focus on Hillel and Shammai, but a lot of interesting topics, and it's, I don't know if fun is the right word, but it's really quite the experience to learn this particular Masechta. So let us begin with the first Mishnah in the first chapter, which deals with some laws of Nida. So Shammai Omer, Shammai says, Kol ha-nashim dayan shatan. All women, their time is sufficient. So what does it mean, their time is sufficient? Let's take a look in the Bart Neuro. Kol ha-nashim haros dam, all women who see blood, dayan shatan latame taharos, shenega behen, Mishas Riyas San Ve'elech. So if a woman is kneading dough, then we're dealing in issues of purity, which really aren't relevant nowadays. But let's say a woman is kneading dough. It would be considered impure if she has her period and after her period until she goes to the mikvah. So Beis Shammai says from the time she sees the blood and on, that's when she would have this effect if she touches things that are pure. The Hillel Omer, back in the Mishnah, Hillel says, Mipkida lepkida, from one examination to another. So she would examine herself periodically, and you would have to backdate to the last clean examination. So let's say it's Friday and she sees blood, and she last examined herself on Wednesday. She would have to assume that, okay, Wednesday I was clean, but she could have gotten her period immediately after examining herself on Wednesday. So anything from the last examination would have to be considered impure. Afilu yamim harbe, even if it's over the course of many days. So if she had an examination a week ago, then everything in the course of the week would need to be considered impure. V'chachamim omrim, but the sages say, lo kedivrei zeh v'lo kedivrei zeh. The halacha follows neither Hillel nor Shammai. In fact, that's actually the theme of the first couple of Mishnayos, when neither Hillel nor Shammai reflects the final halacha. So what do the Chachamim say? Ela me'es le'es, me'mates al-yad me'pekida le'pekida, u'me'pekida le'pekida, me'mates al-yad me'es le'es. So they basically say that it's either the past 24 hours or since her last examination, whichever is less. Let's take a look in Bart Nuro again. Lo kedivrei zeh v'lo kedivrei zeh, neither like Hillel nor Shammai. Lo kedivrei Shammai, demekel tfei, ve'eno oses siyag ledivarav. They don't agree with Shammai, who's too lenient and has no fence around what they say. So once she sees blood, then it's effective immediately, but she could have had her period before she saw the blood, so they feel that Shammai's too lenient. V'lo kedivrei Hillel, Shehipris al midosav umachmir yotemidai. Hillel goes the other extreme. If she had an examination at the beginning of the week and didn't see blood for many days, you're going to make her consider impure things for the basis of the past week. So that's too stringent. Davade kulehai yamim ramim lo mukme kosle beis rechem dam, because for sure she didn't have her period all that entire time. So they say me'es memates al yan mepekida lepekida. So basically 24 hours or since her last exam, whichever is less. Shnei zmanim huskaru beisha letame taharos lemafreya. So they have two times in order to backdate when this woman became impure. V'halach achar hakal shebishnehem, and you follow whichever is the more lenient of the two. So it's either since her last examination or from the past 24 hours, whichever is less. Back in the Mishnah, kol isha sheyesh la veses daya shaita. Any woman who gets her period at a regular time, that time is sufficient. So if she always gets it on the 29th day of the month, then you can consider the 29th day of the month. And again, let's look in the Bart Nuro. Veses kavua, so it's a set time. Shenikva la zman ha'orach shelo shpa'amim, so that she has a chazaka that three times it's happened. So this is something that she can rely upon. Ubadka b'shas vesa, and she examines herself at the time of when she's expecting it. Umatza tamea, and she finds that she is impure. Daya shaita, then that is sufficient. V'lo chashinan dilma mikame hachihava, and we're not worried that maybe it came early this month. Davaya arach b'zmanaba, rather we consider that it came at its expected time. Back in the Mishnah, Hameshameshes be'idim, a woman who examines herself with cloths before and after intercourse. Harizepik pekida, this is the same as her regular examination. Memates al yad me'es le'es, ve'al yad me'pekida le'pekida. So if she examines herself before and after intercourse, the examination she does after intercourse would count, and it would also reduce the time either from her regularly scheduled examination or from the past 24 hours. So that's another way that would reduce the time that she would have to be considered impure, backdated. Again, let's look in the Bart Nuro. Hameshameshes be'idim harizu pekida, so that if she uses these cloths to examine herself, that counts as an examination. Tarte katani, we learn two things from this statement. B'hachi kamar, and this is what it tells us. Umeshameshes be'idim, a woman who examines herself with cloths. Klomar, mitzvah al kol isha l'shamish b'shnei idim shebodekes behen echad lefnei tashmish ve'echad la'achar tashmish. So it's a mitzvah for a woman to examine herself with two cloths, one before intercourse and one after intercourse. Hari zupekida, this counts as one of her examinations. So the one after intercourse is the one that counts in lieu of her regularly scheduled examination. The one before, not. Okay, that is the end of the first Mishnah. Join us tomorrow, and we will continue this chapter with Mishnayos Beis and Gimel.